I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
News. All right, we do have breaking news. CNN has learned that an arrest has been made in the Washington, D.C. January 6th pipe bomb investigation. You will remember that on the morning of the riots around the Capitol, there were also pipe bombs that were found at both the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee headquarters. CNN has now learned that an arrest has been made. Let's get right to CNN's Evan Perez for the latest on this. Evan, what are you learning?
Yeah, John, this has been a long-running investigation, a five-year investigation that the FBI has focused dozens of agents. They've looked at thousands of tips that have come in, video, hundreds of pieces of video. And this morning, the FBI has made an arrest.
Well, that was earlier today. And of course, it is a break in a case that's been hanging in the air all this time. But I want to stress to you, when they say it's a five-year investigation, that assumes... incorrectly, that the Joe Biden FBI was even investigating it. You really have to ask that question. Were they really investigating on that? And the video that they're releasing and showing everyone now, why was that not made available earlier? We were under the impression that no one had any kind of video. There was no piece of video anywhere, even though D.C., like many major cities, and especially near the Capitol, has cameras everywhere, but that was never shared with the public. You. Doesn't mean you could have identified the guy, but normally that would be a process. Here's video we have. We see him sitting down, putting this bag under the bench, and then moving to another location. That was never shared. Why would that be? This revelation today that they have, quote, solved the bombing attempt back on January 5 of 2021 is just a continuation of how the Biden administration put things in motion. And you also have to keep in mind this suspect, he is a male, 30-year-old Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge, Virginia, arrested earlier today. So that disputes some claims that it was a female, in fact, maybe a female Capitol police officer. I don't know if that smear was trying to go after Republicans, Democrats, or who. It's been a whole through. It has been a stuff show. Yeah, a stuff show. Boy, I came so close. I get absolutely incensed over this kind of stuff and how you and the American public, we get pulled along with it. We're going to focus on it in more detail also in our next hour, but that's the information now. And when, how much could change? Not really that much, but the point is this video belies everything that we were supposedly told by the Biden administration. And, of course, I will also ask, we've had Trump in office for a while. Why the video is just now coming out? I'm not sure about that, but maybe they had to go back and track and find everything that had been buried and maybe shuttled in some hallway office that no one uses. I'm not making excuses for it just being public now. Because if the video is available now, it was available day one when Trump went into office with Cash Patel. But it is out there, and it should be taken as a fact that the Biden administration really was not making any effort to resolve that issue. They made a lot of noise over it. They wanted you to believe it's the crazy MAGA right. All right. Well, let me take a breath here. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, December 4, 2025. And with Larry Connors USA, you can tell you get news, analysis, opinion, and education, because you're going to learn more in the next hour and the one after that, then you know right now. And, of course, I will add, in addition to education, maybe exasperation from the host. I have been pushed over the top. And so has Louisiana Senator Kennedy. I'll come back to that as I remind you that a little bit later we'll get into what he's talking about with Minnesota coming up in just a moment. But in the meantime, a Democrat is admitting that his own political party is failing in communicating with you and the public. And he's absolutely right. But I don't think his party is listening to them. He's not even able to communicate to his own party. That'll be in our next hour. And later in this hour, is there a polarization of this country or not? Or is it just a myth? My guest, linked with the Heritage Foundation and other powerful groups, has a new book out, says it is a myth that the country is polarized. By that, we mean we're divided 50-50 on almost every hot-button issue. Not true. We will get into that with him coming up a little bit later. And, of course, before we wrap up this hour, the story behind the story. And I'll tell you now, this is going to involve me being in a police lineup and being singled out as a suspect in a murder. That'll be coming up shortly. Back to the fraud case in Minnesota. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy on the floor yesterday talking expressly about the Minnesota fraud, and it is obviously expensive and extensive, but he was having trouble a little bit controlling his emotions as well. He was ready to let all cannons fire.
And in many countries, if you get down on your luck, they'll let you die in a ditch. But not in America. Not in America. We take care of our fellow citizens. But it's expensive. We spend trillions of dollars a year to do this. And that money that we spend didn't just fall from heaven. We thank heaven for it, but it came out of taxpayers' pockets. And we shouldn't lose sight of that fact, Mr. President. Now, that's why I get so irritated. Irritated's the wrong word. Angry.
Yeah.
When I find out that people take advantage of the American people's generosity. It makes me want to knee someone in the groin.
that's pretty powerful. I want to kick him I'll just knee them in the groin, to use his phrasing. But you know what he meant. We're talking about $1 billion fraud, $1 billion in fraud just involving the Somalia community in the state of Minnesota. Now, immediately, of course, the question is, how much did maybe Congresswoman Omar and others also know about the Somalia community? She is from Somalia. She was on with CNN's Jake Tapper, and he did ask the question.
Okay. Can you shed any light on why the fraud got so out of control in Minnesota?
I think what happened is that, you know, when you have these kind of new programs that are designed to help people, you're oftentimes relying on third parties to be able to facilitate. And I just think that a lot of the COVID programs that were set up, they were set up so quickly that a lot of the guardrails did not get created.
What a piece of garbage and trying to deflect, jumping back to the COVID story. Not what happened with this fraud. Yes, it went on for years, but she wants to say, well, it's all this COVID money that's being spread. You were part of that money being spread across the nation. But what she's already trying to do is backpedal and excuse the Somali connection. She came here at the age of 8. Her family was admitted to our nation under the status of asylum to escape her country, which is something we obviously want to do. They were facing the situation in Somalia where they could lose their life and more, and so that's why we open our borders for that. but she's not really done much to help the American people since then. And what she wants to do now is try to make an excuse for her, quote, community. Her main support in Minnesota, the 5th Congressional District, as to it's not our people and our people's fault. It's the programs that were put in place and no guardrails are put in place to protect the money going to third-party groups. You know what she just acknowledged? What we said constantly during the Biden administration. These third-party groups, these NGOs, non-government organizations that are given tons of federal dollars to help the illegal border crossers or whatever else, we don't know where that money goes, and now we're seeing in Minnesota it was stolen. And she wants to believe, or you to believe, that it's a lack of guardrails, which she's trying to say it's really the Trump administration. If she's talking about the lack of guardrails, that was during the Biden administration. Back to Senator Kennedy.
It's deeply disgusting. I mean, it is clown world on steroids. And when I first read about this, Mr. President, I read it a second time because I experienced slack-jawed astonishment. And when I read it a second time and I realized it was true, I just wanted to run away screaming. What am I talking about, Mr. President? We have discovered, the federal prosecutors have discovered, that for the last 5 years, there has been massive welfare fraud in the great state of Minnesota.
Yeah, Governor Wall's territory. But the senator is giving a little bit more credit to federal prosecutors uncovering it because there were whistleblowers inside the Minnesota State Health Department, 500 of them, all linked to some of these ex-Twitter case pages, claiming, look, we were sending messages constantly that were being ripped off. But because it involved the Somalia community, Governor Walz, it's the third rail. I don't want to touch that. I need their support. And, of course, Congresswoman Omar needs their support. That is her constituency. And what you have in response is the leftists trying to make this issue, this crime, and you calling it out, a racial attack. Louisiana Senator Kennedy devoted much of his time trying to make it clear it's not.
There's been a lot of allegations about racism in these reports. They're saying, oh, you're just picking on the Somali community. I'm not. And I don't think the American people are. I think what they're picking on are crooks. They're picking on crooks. What, everything I just gave you are facts, Mr. President. Has nothing to do with race. But it is a fact that these $1 billion schemes were cooked up by leaders in the Somali community in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. And it is a fact that most of the businesses that participated in this fraud and this thievery were run by people of Somali ancestry.
That's a fact. He had to repeat that over and over again and is still doing it today, as are others every time. If you're going to bring up this fraud, you got to protect yourself. Hey, I'm not being racist. I'm talking about a crime. It is to a point in this country where we constantly have to, I got to back off a little bit so you know I'm not trying to be racially attacking. You do that on every time? Yes, unfortunately, a lot of us do. We've got, quote, sensitive, and I want to be sensitive, feely-feely, not really. But if you're going to go after them, you got to proclaim, this is not racism. Back to Senator Kennedy.
It is disgusting, Mr. President. Disgusting. We're trying to put together a budget right now. And we've got state officials in Minnesota, because they wanted votes, that are allowing people in their state who were crooks to steal $1 billion from the American taxpayer. Money that could have gone to people who really were homeless, and children who really were hungry, and kids who, through no fault of their own, really were autistic, instead of stolen, a portion of which allegedly was sent to a terrorist organization in Somalia. Man, these people ought to all be put in jail, including the politicians.
Yes, yes, yes.
Makes me want to stick my head in an oven.
I adore the man for his very direct, frank opinion. He is candid. He speaks his mind, doesn't he? And we all have to agree with a basic premise here. We have a crime, and we're going to go out and arrest. I mean, we get this all the time, and I had this discussion with someone recently. They're talking about our penitentiary issue with all the inmates, mostly minorities. I know where he's trying to go with this, is making black and brown people in penitentiary. Well, if they did the crime, then that's why they're there. And it's a majority of them? Okay. Does that mean that whites are being let go? No, it doesn't. But you got to, every time you got to back up and say, it's not a racial issue. It's the fact that they did the crime. Or at least they were convicted of it. You want to look for another racial balance? How about what is happening with Democrat Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro and former Vice President Harris? Remember, she went to Pennsylvania to announce who was going to be her running mate. And Shapiro had been widely projected that he would be her running mate. And he's in her state, or rather, she went to his state to make the announcement. But somewhere along the line, she was told, and he then was told, it's not going to be you. We're going to go Minnesota Governor Walz. We want a white guy with a black woman. Shapiro's white, too, but he's also Jewish. And then again, they just wanted to walk away. And she, in her book titled 107 Days, mentioned at one point that Shapiro would come into every room in every decision, or she insisted that she was in every room for every decision. Shapiro was asked, and she said, she wrote that book. He said, that's just a lie. It's a BS lie. We'll get into that in more detail for you as we move forward for this hour. Coming up, my guest deals with polarization, plus the story behind the story. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So do you hear the experts, and obviously the left as well, pointing out that there are certain hot button issues in our nation that absolutely are polarizing. They're suggesting that if you don't agree with this issue, you got at least 50% of the nation against you. Is that true? That's real polarization. We're not talking about just a division of opinion. We're talking about 50-50 opposition. Is that existing in our nation? Or is it perfect for the title of a book, which I happen to have in front of me? The Polarization Myth, America's Surprising Consensus on Race, Schools, and Sex. This is written by Jonathan Butcher. He's with the Heritage Foundation on the education during the Will Skillman Fellowship. Jonathan, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, let's begin with understanding when we say polarization, what that phrase kind of thrown around. When I first saw the title, I thought, it's not a myth. It's not a myth. Oh, I see what you're saying. Let's go ahead.
Well, sure. Well, Hollywood is releasing movies about a civil war in the United States. They just had one come out last year where the White House was calling in airstrikes on American citizens. We have reporters in the mainstream media saying that people are hunkering down and gathering weapons right before the last presidential election for fear that there was going to be some sort of civil unrest. When I think in reality, when you ask Americans, as I did in my book, what they think about, you know, topics that come up around the dinner table, like, do we think boys should be using girls' bathrooms? Should there be books on explicit sex acts on school library shelves? Or should we be using racial preferences in college admissions? Americans agree, right? They don't want people judged based on the color of their skin. They don't want explicit sexual material in front of young children. And we had a host of questions that we
asked. Well, let me stop you there. May I take a moment to interrupt you, sir? When you said sitting around the family dinner table, it's probably going to depend upon the family, going to depend upon the members in the family, because they might not all agree. And yet there are Americans that want boys and girls' restrooms.
Well, but it turns out they're in the minority.
I talked to a woman who lives in California. Come on, you're ruining their entire intent. You're ruining their intent. Go ahead.
Well, this was a part of the story, though, is I talked to a number of people as I wrote the book and included their stories. I talked to a mom in California who went through the process of watching her daughter struggle with this idea that she was born in the wrong body. And she understood that it was really being pushed by the schools. Mm-hmm. It was being pushed by extremists. And she realized, people don't agree with this. And she was on the left. She's someone who identified as a person who voted Democrat for most of her life. And she said, wait a minute, this doesn't represent me. And I found this over and over again. I talked to someone who is from India and became a citizen in the U.S. and ran for school board in Virginia, and found that when she wanted to include America's founding ideals in the school standards, she was shouted down by other people on the school board. And she said, why, as an immigrant, do I need to be standing up for America's founding ideals? But there are lots of people behind her. My survey found that we want civics taught in schools.
Yeah, but so where's the disconnect?
Well, I think that the Americans, right, American population share a lot of the same ideals. And I think it's those who are on the extreme left who are pushing this notion that what we would call traditional common sense opinions are actually, you know, dividing the U.S. And that's just not true, right? The fact is that there are some very common sense things that the left has pushed on us over the last decade in particular, especially when it comes to gender. And it's not what Americans want today. Well, so with this knowledge that we have so much agreement, it can help lawmakers as they design policies.
So how does that translate if you look at the Trump win this last election? I mean, we were told, it's going to be close, which some were saying it could be 50-50, and you were thinking, and every person I go to vote, then you someone behind me is going to cancel my vote. And turns out the left, as you said, in the media, was overemphasizing that, and the nation is not 50-50 divided on all these issues. But we're supposed to believe we're on a losing side to begin with.
Well, I think when it comes to political polarization, I think, you know, you can talk about how close elections are. And it's true, right? Things have been, you know, it's not Reagan in 1984, right? The reality is that things might be closer on the political side, but that's different than policy, right? That's different than what parents are dealing with day to day when they send their kids to school, or as kids decide where they want to go off to college, or even people who work in the corporate sector and don't want to participate in DEI trainings, right? I interviewed an individual who he's a chemist working for Chevron and had to undergo DEI training. And he explained to me, why did I have to do this? What does the story of slavery and the fact that, or the idea that America is systemically racist, what does that have to do with my job? And he said it's not true that America is systemically racist, and he didn't want to be forced fed that at his workplace.
Good for him.
So again, this is being pushed by a certain, you know, radical segment, and I think Americans don't want it. And with the knowledge that we have this constituency that has, you know, common sense positions on some moral questions, that can help us as we begin to form, I think, constituencies around these important topics.
You're listening to Jonathan Butcher, author of the book, The Polarization Myth, America's Surprising Consensus on Race, Schools, and Sex. In other words, we're not really polarized as much as you're led to believe or being preached. You're talking about the racial division, and you were giving us a case here where the guy said, what does this have to do with my job? Yesterday, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy was on the floor denouncing the fraud that took place in Minnesota. $1 billion of fraud, primarily brought out and created in the Somalia community in Minnesota. And he had repeatedly, I think over the top, expressed, I'm not attacking them. This is not a race issue. Where does that fit in our culture right now, that you've got to start by defending what you're going to say before you say it?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, because I think that those are really across the spectrum, regardless of your ethnicity. They don't want to be told that their race is the most important thing about them. I really think Americans would like to be judged based on the choices and decisions that they make. I think that the idea of using, say, racial preferences to admit students to college or give people promotions at work, it really demeans them, right? It undermines all of the effort that they may have put into getting where they want to be in life. And fortunately, the Trump administration has taken some very important steps to eradicate DEI from the federal government. There are state lawmakers around the country who are prohibiting the use of taxpayer money on DEI programs in colleges and in public workplaces. So there's really been a significant backlash against this. And I think that shows an important thing about the American creed. right?
I agree.
I think we understand the American dream really does belong to all of us.
But I kept watching Senator Kennedy and how many times he had to reinforce this is not racism. This is a fact. It's a fact. And we who are trying to focus, and he didn't say that, but I looked at it as everyone who wants to bring these issues to the forefront, regardless of their political or ethnic background, cowers in fear that I will be branded a racist. We're still having to deal with that, are we not?
Well, fortunately, I think it's less so because I think DEI overshot its target. You know, no one wants to be called a racist, and certainly no one in the United States, right? Racism is a blight on America's past, but the lesson, right, that our representative system and rule of law helped to undo that with the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is an important one, right? It's an important one for young people to understand today that who they are and the choices that they make matters more than their skin color and where they come from. And I think people don't like being told that they're biased regardless of what they may think
good
themselves,
point.
Right?
Great point. That's true. They don't want to be already, as you said, cut out stereotype. This is where you fall on the pattern. There's your polarization myth as well, right?
Absolutely. There's tons of research showing that DEI trainings have actually failed to change people's behaviors and attitudes. We have studies going back actually decades on what are called anti-bias trainings, which we would, you know, today call DEI trainings,
right,
that show that it actually doesn't change people's attitudes and behavior. And even the Washington Post, New York Times, and Education Week, I mean, other media outlets, they have published articles on this saying, hey, wait a minute, DEI trainings haven't done what we thought they would do. It's actually failing to advance whatever racial cause they were trying to. And I actually don't think they were trying to advance something healthy. I think they were trying to, again, divide Americans along racial lines.
Well, how much has the legacy media contributed to that in the next 30 seconds? Can you answer that one?
A great deal, because I don't think that they've been authentic about what the research shows. So I think, fortunately, today we do have good research showing that DEI trainings have been a failure.
Jonathan Butcher, author of the book, The Polarization Myth, America's Surprising Consensus on Race, Schools, and Sex. Jonathan, again, I want to thank you for your time. Got a fascinating read and pointing out that the word polarization normally would be taken as we're 50-50. We're not. You are not one of few. You're probably one of many, those listening right now. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Yeah, that's the subject I want to come back at a future point. Because this, if it's constantly pushed into your face, you know, Larry, if you start saying something about that issue, you're going to be labeled a homophobe. You're going to be labeled a racist. You're going to be labeled whatever. I just want to be me. And you may or may not like me, but you're listening. Well, did you just turn me off? I better find those people. Hey, again, I want to thank you for being here with us. And coming up is our new feature, Story Behind the Story. This one involving me in a police lineup, and I got identified.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
When I started this new concept, I tried to make it clear to the audience listening at that point, in case you missed it, bear with me as I repeat it for others who have been picking up on the program. Many are, and I thank you for that. Your word of mouth is the best advertising a station could ever have. Or this program, and I thank you. But I made it very clear that the story behind the story would be based as much as I could upon facts that I could pull together, but that would depend upon the story itself. If it's a news event, as we dealt with earlier this week, the most deadly industrial accident in history, I could find a lot of facts to support the story and everything else. If it deals with an interview I did or some personality, well, there may not be so many facts, but I try to be very careful about embellishing and going over the top. But some of these I'm pulling from not that ancient mind of mine, but years before this current date we're speaking today. So I have to be very careful that I don't over-exaggerate. And the facts I'm trying to stick with are the best as I recall. But now, with that in mind, the story behind the story of how I got into a police lineup and then I got picked out of the lineup as a suspect and what happened then. I'm in Amarillo, Texas. If you've been through Amarillo, it's in the Texas Panhandle. Many of you probably have. Old Route 66 goes through there. The Cadillac Ranch. Remember the Cadillacs buried halfway down? That was Stanley Marsh, the owner of the TV station where I worked. That was his ranch he put together. So I'm with this TV station, and I'm working on a story about a massive fraud that's being unveiled and involving some banks and things of this nature. And one of the guys has agreed to give me an interview, and his attorney has consented to the interview. He's already been arrested. He's in jail, but he's willing to give me an interview. And his attorney said, yeah, but I'd like to be there. I said, sure. This guy is going to be picked up by the feds from the Potter County Jail in Amarillo. So I've got to do this interview before he's in custody of the feds because it ain't going to happen once they have him. Everything is set up. But I get to the police station a little bit before, and one of the officers says, you're going to do the interview, right? I said, yeah, well, before you do it, we have a request of you, since we're helping you. Well, sure. What can I do to help you so you can continue to help me? Said, we got a murder suspect. We're bringing in some people for a lineup. witnesses, apparently, that might contribute information. Now, I need one more guy about your height, your approximate look, good-looking as you are. I did it. I overstepped. I embellished a bit. I admit that on the point. I know what he wants. He wants me to stand in the lineup with four, five, six other guys. It ended up being six other guys. Okay, I don't think anything worse. I had nothing to do with this crime. What the heck? So I'm standing in the lineup as a courtesy and a thank you for the Amarillo Police Department helping me do the interview in the jail coming up. And I got to be done soon before the feds pick him up later that day. I do my bit. They all tell us, okay, you're free to leave, except number three. Number three was me. I know, what the? Well, one of the guys was put in handcuffs and taken out of the room. The other set free to walk about. I don't know if one of them had also been an undercover officer or whatever, but they wanted to talk to me directly. And there was a new detective. He had not been in the area very long, so he didn't really know me. And he thought this is his chance to make his mark. I don't know if he had been aware that I'd been in the TV business in Amarillo for at least a couple years before this event. All he knew is that the one or two eyewitnesses they brought in, I don't know how many they had on the other side of the glass, identified that I was the guy that they saw in the vicinity of this murder. You got to be kidding me. They just, you know, they've seen me on TV. This detective, I got eyewitnesses that say, you're the guy. I said, but it's not me, the guy. You got another guy in there in handcuffs already when I came in for the lineup. That's probably who you want, right? They didn't pick him out of the lineup. They picked you out. Well, other officers are looking around watching this. And some of them, they later had shared that they were having fun with it. They were mocking me. They're off in the back corner. Oh, watch what they're doing. I don't remember the detective's name, but I should have. But a couple of them acknowledged they knew what was going on, but they decided, we're not going to interfere. Let's just back off and watch what happens. In other words, let's watch Larry shrivel. Well, I knew I had nothing to do with the crime. But I've got this detective who was bent on hell and high water coming that he's going to make sure he makes the arrest of a TV reporter in Amarillo that was carrying out crimes, including murder. I think this, quote, interrogation, and I wouldn't really phrase it that way except to maybe embellish the story again. This questioning and answer and refusal and rebuttal and everything else around, it went on for almost 30 minutes before one of the other detectives came in and said, tapped the guy on the shoulder and said, hey, he's not the guy. He's right. The guys, our witnesses probably saw him. They recognized him because of TV. And they thought they just automatically put him in place. It made sense to me to begin with. It made sense to the other detectives. But this one detective, he was, again, thinking just because he's on TV doesn't mean he couldn't commit murder. Well, I'll agree with that. But it finally came down to the point that the other detectives made it clear. We're sure Larry is not involved. We need to focus on the others. We need to do another lineup without Larry in it and see what happens then, which they started working on doing. Me? I thank them. Now I've got to get back with my photographer so we can go inside the jail and to get the interview. Oh. That's part of the other story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So finally, I'm freed of suspicion in a murder case simply because the eyewitnesses picked me out of a lineup. And I'd agreed to the lineup, if you recall, because I was already going to be doing an interview with an inmate in the jail. And they said, hey, as a courtesy to us, since we're helping you do the interview, will you be a part of this lineup so we can fill out enough spots to give the person trying to identify a killer or someone they saw nearby different faces to view? Sure, why not? But then they picked me out. And I spent half an hour trying to set that story straight. So when I finally get free, literally, and physically to some extent, we go to the jail and the guy's been moved. My interview subject, that had agreed to give the interview along with his attorney was being held in the Amarillo Potter County Jail, and I was going to be able to interview him. But he was also going to be picked up by the feds on the same charges. And once the feds had him, they were not going to allow any interviews. Well, they showed up, wouldn't you expect, when you think generally the feds might always be behind the criminals and behind in time and just missing everything, or maybe on top of it, but maybe not. Well, they got there early that day. And they took custody of the guy. I never got a chance to see him again. Didn't get a chance to do the interview. And he was going to give me his vision inside this elaborate scam that was under investigation. Rats. Twice. One, I lose the interview I wanted to get, which I was counting on for having on the air that night. And we'd already started running some promos for it during the day. I wasn't going to have it. And two, I got picked up out of lineup as a murder suspect. Well, Larry, there's your other story. Yeah, but at that time, we didn't do that one on the air. They thought it would make the police look stupid. This is a reason why I've always said a simple eyewitness account of something does not mean that much. You can have five people witness the same exact event, and then ask them to describe the suspect and or the event, and you're going to get five different stories. And I've always said no one should be going to jail on just a eyewitness testimony. And, of course, that's what happened for decades before we really got fingerprint analysis in. Then we got DNA. And, of course, unfortunately, folks went to death row and execution in a couple of cases built basically on eyewitness information. But there is another part of this story. A robbery took place at a convenience store in Amarillo again. I don't want you to think it's filled with crime, but those were some of the stories I was covering in Amarillo at the time. And I was only, when I heard it on the police scanner, I wasn't more than maybe a mile away from the area. I heard it on the police scanner, and I told the station, I'm headed over there now. I get there, there are already two patrol cars pulled up in front, lights flashing, customers coming out, others standing to the side, police inside, uniformed police inside with a clerk. She's talking to them, giving her information. And I walk into the door, literally, as they open the door and walk in, and she turns from them and looks at me. Her eyes grow really wide, and she points at me and said, that's him! That's the guy! Not again. I'm like, that was going through my mind. Not again. We're going to have to go through this game again. And they both officers looked at me. Larry? She said, I don't know who it is, but that's the guy. That's the guy. Well, again, eventually it got to the point where, no, it was not me. It was just her caught up in her panic and what she'd been through, and the first face she saw that she recognized would be me. You ever feel like you've got a haunting spirit over you trying to push you into predicaments you don't want to be in? I couldn't fault her. Again, this young woman had just been traumatized, facing the barrel of a gun, being robbed, still trying to compose herself while talking to the detectives, still shaking, trying to give them the information they wanted. And unfortunately, I walked through the door at that point as she's identifying the robber. I guess if I really wanted to cap off the story, I could say that they ended up arresting me, booking me, and everything else, putting me in jail overnight. No, they didn't. It was decided within 5 minutes at the convenience store what had happened. Took a while to convince her. She was still insisting that I was the one who walked through. I've told you these stories, they sometimes rely upon my memory if I'm recalling something like that. I don't have any factual basis for it. You want to take it as Texas BS? Okay, you're entitled. I'm from Texas. But I try to give it to you the best as I recall. Tomorrow's story behind this story. Pearl Harbor. The attack would be this Sunday. So that's why we're going to do it tomorrow. I've had folks asking about it. They'd heard that we'd promoted that at one point we were going to talk about the death of former meteorologist Bob Richards, his suicide plane crash. It was going to be today, but I thought I really want to get Pearl Harbor done in advance of December 7 coming up this Sunday. So I swapped positions. So tomorrow, the story behind the story will focus on Pearl Harbor. Monday, we'll be focusing on the Bob Richards suicide plane crash with information, again, you don't know about the story behind the story. You do not want to miss our second hour still to come. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine. The spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help. On Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.